الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, we continue with the العقيدة الواسطية لشيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى, شرح الشيخ محمد بن صالح العثيمين رحمة الله عليه. And in our last session, we would like to pick up from where we left off. And we left off at the discussion of the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal is above and with us simultaneously, without having a contradiction, and without that understanding necessitating that Allah is mixed with His creation, as in He's with everyone all the time, everywhere, as it is claimed by the people of misunderstanding. Then we stopped at the statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, وَهُوَ سُبْحَانَهُ فَوْقَ عَرْشِهِ رَقِيبٌ عَلَى خَلْقِهِ مُهَيْمِنٌ عَلَيْهِمْ مُطَّلِعٌ عَلَيْهِمْ. And He exalted, the exalted, or He, how perfect, how perfect is He, or how perfect He is above His throne, above His throne. He's observing His creation. He is the ruler and the protector over them, and He is watching them. Okay? He is watching them, observing them, aware of them. I'm worried that people will be able to see it, and then the shaitan will get you into the process of dates, the whole that. This happens, trust me, man. Doesn't matter who it is. So, I've learned, doesn't even days, man, when you're, you know, when there's a class, everything will become interesting. You know, this is from experience. People look at anything. If there's no class, everybody's paying attention. Once there's something Islamic going on, you know, you start checking out the lights. This is Philips. I wonder how much they did for this one. I bought it last week. For all kinds of, you know what I'm saying. Anyways. مهيمن عليهم مطهي, watching over them. الشيخ says in the شرح رحمه الله, يقول رحمه الله وهو سبحانه فوق عرشه مع أنه مع الخلق لكنه فوق عرشه. الشيخ الإسلام says that Allah عز وجل is above His throne, and even though He's with His creation, yet He is above His throne. رقيب على خلقه يعني مراقبا حافظا لأقوالهم وأفعالهم وحركاتهم وسكناتهم. الله المستعان. He is the one watching or observing His creation. He observes and preserves their statements, their actions, their movements, and their lack of movement. Everything. Whether you're moving or you're not moving, it's all within Allah's observation. مُهَيْمِنٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أي حَاكِمٌ مُسَيْطِرٌ عَلَى عِبَادِهِ. He's like protecting and the ruler over slaves, meaning He's the ruler that controls His slaves. فَلَهُ الْحُكْمُ. To Him belongs the command and the rule. وَإِلَيْهِ يَرْجِعُ الْأَمْرُ كُلُّهُ. And to Him the whole affair returns. وَأَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. His matter is of such that when He says to something, be and it is. Ironically, that's what the Imam was reciting in first rak'ah of Surah Al-Maghrib, in Salat Al-Maghrib, at the end of Surah Yasin. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَنْ يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. قَوْلُهُ إِلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِنْ مَعَانِي رُبُوبِيَّتِهِ. The statement of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, and other meanings which are relevant to Allah's rububiyyah, mastery or lordship. يعني بذلك ما تضمنه معنى الربوبية من ملك وسلطان وتدبير وغير ذلك. This means that anything which is categorized under Allah's rububiyyah, such as Allah's sovereignty, Allah's power and dominion, Allah's arrangement of the affairs of His slaves. فإن معاني الربوبية كثيرة. The concepts of Allah's lordship are abundant and many. لأن الرب هو الخالق المالك المدبر وهذه تحمل معاني كثيرة جدا. Because Allah is the master is the creator, the ultimate owner and the arranger of affairs. And these are very rich meanings. Each one, you know, for Allah to be the owner, then you could elaborate on that for quite some, you know, some time. And to explain Allah as the creator similarly, and Allah as the arranger of the affairs, many different Islamic concepts can be integrated with speaking of these three rububiyyah, qualities of rububiyyah. So all of them are included in that. قَوْلُهُ وَكُلُّ هَذَا الْكَلَامِ الَّذِي ذَكَرَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ أَنَّهُ فَوْقَ الْعَرْشِ وَأَنَّهُ مَعَنَا حَقٌّ عَلَى حَقِيقَتِهِ لَا يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى تَحْرِيمٍ. And all this speech wherein Allah had mentioned Himself being above this throne and mentioning Himself being with us is true in the ultimate truth, truthful sense, and we do not need to distort it. We do not need to twist the meaning and try to give it another false interpretation. وَهَذِهِ الْجُمْلَةَ تَأْكِيدٌ لِمَا سَبَقٌ. Now this sentence affirms the previous one. وَإِنَّمَا كَرَّرَ مَعْنَا مَا سَبَقْ لِأَهْمِيَةِ الْمَوْضُوعِ. And the reason why Shaykh al-Islam repeated this concept because of the importance of the topic, the subject matter. فَبَيَّنَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ أَنَّمَا ذَكَرَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ كَوْنِهِ فَوْقَ الْعَرْشِ حَقٌّ أَوْ حَقًّا عَلَى حَقِيقَتِهِ. He explained that when Allah mentioned that He was above His throne is something that is true. It is true. وَكَذَلِكَ مَا ذَكَرَهُ مِنْ كَوْنِهِ مَعْنَا حَقًّا عَلَى حَقِيقَتِهِ. Also Allah mentioned that He's with us is also true. لَا يَحْتَاجُ إِلَى تَحْرِيفٍ. There is no need to distort it. يعني لا يحتاج أن نصرف معنى الفوقية إلى فوقية قدر أو فوقية القدر كما ادعاه أهل التحريف والتعطيل. That means that we do not need to explain away the meaning of فوقية, being above, as that of status, as the people of Tahrif do. They say the ayat would speak of Allah being above, meaning Allah's qualities. You know, above not in a literal sense, but in a figurative sense. So they say it doesn't mean Allah is above. It means that, you know, the qualities of Allah are high, are above, are better than others. So in this sense, Allah mentions Him being above. And it doesn't mean Allah Himself. That's what the people of distortion claim, and the people of denial. بَلْ هِيَ فَوْقِيَّةٌ فَوْقِيَّةُ ذَاتْ وَقَدْرٌ. Nay, we say it is the transcendence, the highness of the essence of Allah Azza wa Jal and His qualities. Together, yeah, we don't deny. Of course, Allah has the highest qualities, right? The best qualities. But Allah Himself is also, His essence is above. Allah Azza wa Jal is, the essence of Allah Azza wa Jal is also in the state of transcendence. كما لا يحتاج أن نصرف معنى المعية عن ظاهرية. Similarly, we don't have to explain away the meaning of being with from what it apparently means. بل نقول هي حق على ظاهرها ومن فسر بغير حقيقته فهو محارب. We say, nay, it is correct according to how we understand it, and whoever explains it in a different way, then he has distorted the meaning. لكن ما ورد من تفسيرها بلازمها ومقتضاها. However, وأراد وارد عن السلف لحاجة دعت إلى ذلك وهو لا ينفي الحقيقة لأن لازم الحق حق. طيب. But whoever among the righteous predecessors explained it as being Allah's knowledge, Allah's ability, Allah's, you know, hearing and seeing, that's what they said that it means Allah being with, they only had to do that because of a necessity, which is the people of innovation and the people of distortion denying Allah's attributes. So they had to use that as a refutation for them. And this is okay in a sense, because whatever is necessary for the existence of the truth, then that thing itself becomes truth. Whatever is necessary for truth to be established, then that thing itself is established. However, we say that the most popular meaning and the one that is undisputable is that we say Allah is with us in a manner which befits His majesty. How? Allahu A'lam. It doesn't work with human beings? Exactly. Allah is not like human beings. A person, you know, cannot be on the roof, cannot be above the building and with you in the room simultaneously. Yes, you're right, that's a human being. Now you can apply the law which Allah created to apply on human beings and try to apply it to Allah. It doesn't work. So there's nothing like Allah. That way we close the door for the people of Tahrif from doing Tahrif to these nusus. إذن ثم استدرك المؤلف رحمه الله فقال ولكن يصان عن الظنون الكاذبة مثل أن يظن أن ظاهر قولي في السماء أن السماء تقله أو تظله وهذا باطل بإجماع أهل العلم والإيمان. Then Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah alaykum salam caught himself and he added, however, that we should maintain the perfection or the sound understanding by removing any possible misunderstanding, such as someone saying for the ayah in Surah Al-Mulk, أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ أَنْ يَخْسِفَ بِكُمُ الْأَرْضَ فَإِذَا هِيَ تَمُرُ. Do you feel secure that he who is above the heavens will cause the earth to tremble under you? That no one can come and say that فِي السَّمَاءِ means that the heaven, the sky, that it carries Allah, or that it shadows Allah, it provides a shade for Allah. And this is false, this is rejected according to the consensus of the people of knowledge in Iman. Because pay attention now, we're saying that we do not distort the apparent meaning of the ayat. We take it as is. The ayah says, أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. Now we explained previously, for those who did not attend in the earlier classes, that the asl, fi, the preposition, fi means in. It could mean ala, which is what we want here. But the asl that it means, in. And so, if we were to take it according to this apparent meaning, then one may say, then according to you, you're saying that Allah is in the heavens. And the heavens are carrying Allah because Allah is in the heavens, or that they shade Allah because Allah is in there. So we say no. When we affirm Allah's qualities, we do not entertain false concepts such as this one. Linguistically, we said fi does not necessarily mean in. It could mean on. It could mean on. And the evidence for that is from the Quran. Like Fir'aun saying to the magicians or ex-magicians, believers who were magicians, لَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ فِي جُذُوعِ النَّخْلِ. I shall crucify you in the palm trees. Now can you crucify someone inside a palm tree? Do you open up the palm tree, crucify him, and close it back up? And you get some fresh dates the next day? Or you crucify someone on a tree? On a tree. Allah says, Siru fil ard. Travel in earth. Are you going to go underground and travel? Or does it mean walk on earth? It means travel on earth. So linguistically, in can mean on. That's number one. The second interpretation, which is very strong, is sama sumu. Yesmu has to do with highness, and it doesn't necessarily mean sky. Linguistically, sama doesn't only mean sky, it means that which is above you. And the evidence for that is the fact that we know that the water, the rain, where does the rain come from? From the sun? From the moon? From where? From the clouds. The rain comes, does it come without clouds? Have you ever seen a rain without clouds? You cannot. Allah said, نَزَّلَ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً. He sent down from the sky water. Water doesn't come from the sky, it comes from the clouds. But the clouds are above you, so anything above you is called sama. So when we say فِي السَّمَاءِ, أَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ, meaning the one who is in the state of highness and transcendency, it does not mean a geographical location where, like you say, the water is in the cup. That's one of the meanings of the language, but not the only one. Right? Even in the language, even the preposition in the language, you say, I'm in a relationship. I'm in a relationship with my wife. Of course, you cannot be in a relationship with anything else, right? But just that's the first. You're with the relationship, that's linguistically impossible, Ibrahim. Which reminds you, sometimes, you know, look guys, now we all have problems with our English, right? Because it's not our mother tongue. But we need to improve our English for da'wah. Sometimes I get emails from, you know, brothers whom have been attending classes for Allah knows how long, and we still have errors in subject-verb agreement. You know, for example, when the subject is singular, the verb ends with an S. He eats chocolate. And you cannot say he eats chocolate, and you cannot say they eat chocolate. He eats chocolate, they eat chocolate. This is, I mean, these are things that we should have already figured out. In order for the da'wah, not for anything else. And you benefit in the deen and the dunya, right? If you improve your English, it's a win-win situation. Trust me, we work on it all the time. We still have a long way to go. But it doesn't mean that we stop striving. I expect those who attend the classes and listen to so much English that their language would improve by now. The same way when I listen to all these other, you know, du'at in English, I benefit from them, and afterwards I use words which I didn't know until I heard it from such shaykh or such da'i. I mean, it's an ongoing process, but we need to, you know, join a crowd, right? Next time somebody sends me email with a lot of grammatical and punctuation mistakes, I'm not going to reply. طيب, إذن في السماء could mean where? In the state of highness. And it doesn't mean fi as in. And I was giving you an English example, and let's just leave it on relationships. Let's see what you guys have to offer. Can you think of the usage for the preposition in, wherein it doesn't mean a physical existence of something in something? I thought of one. I'm in charge of this group. I'm in charge. Does that mean I'm in and there's a charge, right? Like for a phone charger, and I'm in the charge, I'm in charge? No. Linguistically, in does not have to have a single meaning, which is something being in something. That's one of the meanings. And it's the same thing in Arabic.
أنا في الطريق.
أنا في الطريق أحسن. I'm, and here mean, what does it mean?
On.
It means I'm on the way.
On the way.
أنا في mashallah عليك يا شيخ إبراهيم. I didn't know you were the Sibawi of the Arabic language. في الطريق really means I am in the road. But what is meant is I'm on the road, and doesn't mean that you're in the road, right? Otherwise we'll have to go save you. So if somebody understood these things literally, we have a big problem. Brother, I'm in the road. How did you get in the road, akhi? I'll talk to you later, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Ala kulli hal. So the Shaykh said, الظنون الكاذبة هي الأوهام التي ليس لها أساس من الصحة فيجب أن يصان عنها كلام الله تعالى ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. False lying or false assumptions are merely, you know, imagination. It's just assumptions, conjectures that have no basis of authenticity. And we should protect the speech of Allah and that of the Prophet ﷺ of such false conceptions. Such false conceptions as Allah being in this sense and whatever else that people of tahrif do. مثل ذلك أيضاً أن ظاهر قول في السماء أن السماء تقله. For example, for someone to say في السماء means that the heavens carry Allah تبارك وتعالى. أي تحمله كما يحمل سقف البيت من كان على ظهره. That means it carries him the same way the roof of a house carries whoever is on top of it. Now we cannot believe that. أو تظله يعني تكون فوقه كالسقف على الإنسان. Or that it covers him. والعياذ بالله. It's all nonsense. But you know what? This is what the people of the Asha'ira and they like. This is what they try to claim. And I've had this personally many times. They say, you're saying Allah is sitting on the throne? Allah needs a throne? This is the argument. Say, no. We do not say. First, no Muslim can say Allah is sitting. Because we don't have such a sifa. We don't have such an attribute. Not from the Quran or from the Sunnah. We have stawa. Stawa means to rise above. There's no mention of sitting. And sitting is a very particular thing. So first, we don't affirm that concept of sitting. Secondly, we don't believe, no Muslim believes that Allah needs a throne. Or the fact that Malaika, Al-Malaika tahmilu al-arsh. For example, Israfil, as we are speaking right now, is currently carrying the horn, and he's ready to blow in it, the trumpet, if you may call it. He's ready to blow in it, he's waiting for the go signal, and he's from Hamalatul Arsh. He's from the Malaika that carry the throne of Allah. Does that mean that Allah is in need of it? Who's the Qayyum? The Malaika, the throne, or Allah? Allah. What is Qayyum? The one that maintains everything and none maintains him. So it's nonsensical for someone to come say, okay, now you're saying Allah's over the throne, that means Allah needs the throne, Allah needs the malaika who need the throne. Shaykh, come on now. We say this is nonsense. And you cannot bring this understanding because we're not saying that. We don't claim that. We say everything needs Allah. But that's what Allah decreed. That's what Allah Azza wa Jal decreed. I mean, this is something very basic, but subhanAllah. طيب. إذا ظن الإنسان هذا فهو ظن كاذب. If anyone thinks such a thing, then this is a false thought. يجب سوّن الأدلة الدالة على أن الله في السماء عن ذلك. We should protect, you know, all the evidences which indicate that Allah is above the heavens from understanding it according to the people as Allah is in the heavens. والعياذ بالله. قال المؤلف رحمه الله وهذا باطل بإجماع أهل العلم والإيمان. This is false according to the consensus of people of knowledge and people of faith. تنبيه. قد يقول قائل كان على المؤلف على المؤلف رحمه الله أن يقول ومثل أن يظن أن ظاهر قوله وهو معكم أنه مختلط بالخلق لأن هذا الظن كاذب أيضا وجوابه أن نقول إن المؤلف رحمه الله ذكر ذلك سابقا في قوله وليس معنا قوله ومعكم أنه مختلط بالخلق. جميل. The Sheikh said that someone may say, why did not the author, رحمه الله, mention, for example, that one of the false understandings is that when we say that Allah is with us, it means that He is mixed with us. How come he didn't mention that as one of the possible misunderstandings of the ayah? The Shaykh said, because the Shaykh had already mentioned that. Shaykh al-Islam had already mentioned that previously. When he quoted the ayah, and He is with you, he said, it does not mean that He is mixed with the creation. That's very important. طيب, قوله, فإن الله قد وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض. Shaykh al-Islam said, because verily Allah's kursi has encompassed the heavens and the earth. Kursi is what? Footstool. And linguistically, technically, it's the chair. Arsh is the throne. Kursi is the chair. But from what we learn from the Quran and the Sunnah, is what is intended by the kursi is the footstool of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And it doesn't mean the chair as we know the chair today. Now, the kursi of Allah Azza wa Jal encompasses the heavens and the earth. And we mentioned in previous authentic narrations that the comparison or the similitude of the kursi of the heavens and the earth, the heavens and the earth to the kursi is like a ring in a vast desert. And then the similitude of the kursi to the throne is again like a ring in a vast desert. Wallahu Akbar, and Allah is greater and bigger than all that. Subhanallah al-Azim. طيب. يعني أحاط بالسماوات والأرض السماوات السبع والأرضين السبع. Meaning Allah's footstool, الكرسي كما يروي عن ابن عباس موضع القدمين. Ibn Abbas رحمه الله, as he narrated from him, that kursi is the place that for Allah's feet, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we believe that Allah Azza wa Jal has feet. In fact, we at least the foot, which we have mentioned in the authentic narration in commentary on Surah Qaf, يَوْمَ نَقُولُ لِجَهَنَّمَ هَلْ امْتَلَأْتِ وَتَقُولُ هَلْ مِنْ مَزِيدٍ. And the authentic narration in Sahih Tirmidhi, that Allah Azza wa Jal will put His foot in Jahannam until it will be, you know, squeezed to its edges. It will be, you know, squeezed to the edges, and then it will say, "Qat qat, that's enough, enough." Right? And so, you know, these are authentic narrations that cannot be comprehended in the ultimate sense as in how, because we don't know how Allah Azza wa Jal is. But we believe. We believe. That's our job. طيب. So Allah's kursi encompasses the heavens and the earth. The seven heavens and the seven earths. The seven heavens and the seven earths. فَكَيْفَ يَظُنُّ ظَنْ أَنَّ السَّمَاءَ تُظِلُّ اللَّهَ وَتُكِلُّهُ. That if this is the case, how can someone think that Allah, the heaven carries Allah or covers Him? If Allah's footstool encompasses the heavens and the earth, and we said it's like a ring in a desert, then how can they say that the one heaven is going to encompass Allah Azza wa Jalla, is going to cover Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is going to carry Allah? فإذا كان قد وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض فلا يظن أحد أبدا هذا الظن الكاذب وهو أن السماء تقل أو تظل. If Allah then footstool encompasses the heavens and the earth, no one then can assume afterwards that the heaven carries Allah or covers him. قوله هو الذي يمسك السماوات والأرض أن تزولا. And Allah said in Surah Fatir, it is He who grasps the heavens and the earth lest they move away from their place. يمسكها أن تزولا عن أماكنهما. Allah grasps them so that they will not move from their place. ولولا إمساك الله لهما لاضطربتا ومادتا وزالتا. Had Allah not grasped them, they would have been shook, and then they would have been gone. The heavens and the earth would have been gone. ولكن الله عز وجل بقدرته وقوته يمسك السماوات والأرض أن تزولا. But Allah through his ability and his power and might, he holds and grasps the heavens and the earth lest that they move away from their places. بل قال تعالى ولئن زالتا إن أمسكهما من أحد من بعده ما أمسكهما أحدا بعد الله أبدا. No one has grasped them after Allah تبارك وتعالى. لو تزول نجمة من النجوم لا يستطيع أحد أن يمسكها. If one star was to move away from its location, no one will be able to stop it. In fact, read right now, human beings are so vulnerable that if Allah decided that any shooting star, you know, comes towards Earth, there's nothing we can do. Nothing we can do. Even if all of them came together, what, we're going to create a blanket, you know, and make it bounce off? There's nothing we can do. Allah will come and take everyone out. It will wipe out half of the Earth. We have no, and you know how many stars are traveling in the universe? It's by Allah's decree that, you know, the earth is not getting slammed every other day. And they did have in the past some small, you know, bits and pieces of stars crashing on earth and, you know, things of this nature. But alhamdulillah, Allah decreed that we will remain on earth. Otherwise, no one can control anything. Subhanallah al-Azim. إذن لا يستطيع أحد أن يمسكها فكيف لو زالت سماوات الأرض. If a star moves, no one can hold it. Then how about someone holding the heavens and the earth, keeping them in place? Yeah, right. مَا يُمْسِكُهَمَا إِلَّا اللَّهِ الَّذِي خَلَقُهُمَا. None keeps them and grasps them except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their creator. الَّذِي يَقُولُ لِلشَّيْءِ كُنْ فَيَكُنْ. The one who says to something, be and it is. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ السَّمَوَاتِ. In his hand belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. قوله ويمسك السماء أن تقع على الأرض إلا بإذنه. And Allah holds the sky so that it doesn't fall upon earth except by His permission. السماء فوق الأرض ووالله لولا إمساك الله لها لوقعت على الأرض. The heaven, the skies are above the earth. And by Allah, if Allah did not hold it, it would have fallen on earth. Because it's a construction. والسماء بنيناها بأيدٍ وَإِنَّا لَمُوسِعُونَ. And the heavens we constructed. بُنْيَان يَبْنِي مَبْنَى. You've heard that word before?
Building.
So it's construction. The heavens was constructed. رَفَعَ السَّمَاوَاتِ بِغَيْرِ عَمَدٍ تَرَوْنَهَا. Allah raised the heaven without any pillars that you see. You don't see any pillars. Everything that you raise above needs pillars. Now Allah can, we have to understand this, because on the Day of Judgment, what will happen to the sama? إِذَا السَّمَاءٌ فَطَرَتْ. Right? The sama will split open. Surah Al-Rahman, فَإِذَا انشَقَّتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ وَرْدَةً كَالدِّهَانِ. Right? The sama will انشَقَّتْ, it will be ripped apart, it will be split asunder. فَكَانَتْ وَرْدَةً كَالدِّهَانِ. It will become like melting lead. Like melting lead. Red in color. I mean, the sama is going to split open. And you read the Azuz al-Amma, all of it speaking about the sama, you know, being opened up. إِذَا السَّمَاءُ انشَقَّتْ. All of these ayahs, what does it mean? شَقَّتْ, all انشِقَاق, have to do with splitting asunder, ripping apart. So we have to understand, because it's difficult sometimes to understand it. Come on man, the sky is not going to fall. It's the sky. Look, akhi, it's Allah's creation. If Allah willed, it would slam on human beings. But Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who keeps it in place. لأنها أجرام عظيمة كما قال تعالى وجعلنا السماء سقفا محفوظا. The sky was made as a ceiling, protected, preserved. وقال والسماء بنيناها بأيدي وإنا لموسعون. The ayah I quoted earlier. فلولا أن الله يمسكها لو وقعت على الأرض. وإذا وقعت على الأرض أتلفتها. If Allah did not keep it in place, it would have fallen on earth. And if it had fallen on earth, it would have destroyed earth. The sky is heavy. Right? The samawat, Allah musta'an. فالذي يمسك السماوات والأرض أن تزولا ويمسك السماء أن تقع على الأرض إلا بإذنه. هل يتصور متصور أن السماء تقله أو تظله؟ So the one who holds the heavens and the earth, lest they move away from their place, and the one who holds the sky and the heavens from falling on earth, except with this permission. Can anyone afterwards come and assume that the heaven, a single heaven, carries Allah Azza wa Jal, or covers him? It's inconceivable. It doesn't make any sense. It's the other way around. Subhanallah al-Azim. إذا لا أحد يتصور ذلك. شيخ said, no one can imagine that. It's unimaginable. قوله ومن آياته أن تقوم السماء والأرض بأمره. And from among the signs is that the heavens and the earth are established by his command. أن تقوم الكوني تقوم السماء والأرض بأمر الكوني والشرعي. His command means the universal and the legal one. لأن أمره مبني على الحكمة والرحمة والعدل والإحسان. Allah's command is built on, is established upon wisdom, mercy, justice and excellence and goodness, generosity. ولو اتبع الحق أهواءهم لفسدت السماوات والأرض ومن فيهن. Now look at this, the dangers of people of desires. And if the heavens and if the truth was to follow their desires, now pay attention. وَلَوِ اتَّبَعَ الْحَقُّ أَهْوَاءُمْ. If the truth was to follow the desires of people, لَفَسَدَتِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضِ. The heavens and the earth would have become corrupt. وَمَنْ فِيهِنْ. And everyone upon them. The people of desires, whether among the Muslims or among the non-Muslims, these, if Allah did willed, because of their, if the truth was to follow them, when we lose the truth, then we would not even exist anymore. The hawa, following desires, is the worst calamity that one can have. And there's the following of desires in shahawat, okay? In instinct desires. You love women, you know, whatever. That's one problem. But worse than that is in the matters of the deen. Yani, for example, I was speaking with some people today, and I was speaking to them about a brother who was in the masjid who was, you know, reading the Quran like this. You know, the people rock back and forth. So I came and spoke to him. I said, "Ya akhi, barakallah fik. You know, do you know the Jews, Yahud?" And he didn't speak Arabic or English. I was telling them, actually, the reason why I was telling them the story is because of the language barrier. The bottom line is, I told them, you go watch, you know, if you watch TV, if you happen to have TV, I've seen on YouTube before, the Jews, when they stand before the wall in Jerusalem, they stand and hold the Torah and they read like this. I said, "Akhi, so you as a Muslim, you know, even if you're doing it out of habit, I'm not saying you're trying to worship Allah by rocking back and forth, the fact that you're resembling these enemies of Allah and their recitation of their scripture is sufficient enough for you to leave it alone. Don't get into the philosophy of it. You are imitating," the scholars say, "if you imitate the kuffar, even if it's unintentionally, you must be given notice and you must leave it alone. You don't open that door." So now, I'm saying this to people, you know, who it appeared that they themselves do this. They themselves do this. So as soon as they heard this, they said, "Hey, this is extreme in the religion. This is being extreme religion. There's nothing wrong with, you know, with rocking back and forth." They said, "It's resembling the Jews." They said, "No." Then we go on with the conversation. Then we discuss many things. And every time they say something, they say, "Yeah, this is haram." No, yeah, somebody, I said, "Akhi, according to your own standards, now what you're calling haram and shouldn't be done, is this like the example I gave you earlier? Now that is haram. And what I said is really haram because both of them entail resembling the Jews. Now what's the difference between this and what's the difference between that?" "Well, but because the first one they're doing, and the other ones they don't do, the things that they do, they say this is extreme. And the things which they're already not doing, they say, yeah, this shouldn't be done." I say, that's following desires. Like, the deen is not like that, man. Yeah, you know, if you're doing something, you have to admit in yourself. Yeah, I'm wrong. Allah understand. Or be quiet. But anything that we're doing, or it's okay to do it. If we're not doing it, it shouldn't be done. But they, if they, according to the usul, these are two the same. And maybe the first is more dangerous than the second. Lighter things, they said, should not be done. And grave things, they said, ما في مشكلة. Allah musta'an. على كل حال. الهوى. Hey. والأهواء فساد للسماوات والأرض وهي مخالفة للأمر الشرعي. Anyways, desires, they corrupt the heavens and the earth. And basically it is the opposition of Allah, the legal command of Allah. That's what hawa is. To go against Allah's command and do what you like, not what Allah likes. إِذَا فَالسَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ تَقُومْ بِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ الْكَوْرِي وَالشَّرْعِي. So the heavens and the earth are established per Allah's universal and legal commands. وَلَوْ أَنَّ الْحَقَّ اتَّبَعَ عَوَاءَ الْخَلْقِ لَفَسَدَتْ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ مَا فِيهِنَّ. If the truth was to follow the desires of people, then the heavens and the earth and everything in them would have been corrupted by now. وَلِهَذَا قَالَ الْعُلَمَاءُ فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى وَلَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ بَعْضَ أَصْلَاحِهَا أَيْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِيهَا بِالْمَعَاصِي. And some of the scholars in a commenting on the ayah, and do not spread corruption upon earth after it had been rectified, meaning do not spread corruption by disobeying Allah, by spreading sins. So we are actually moving on to a new chapter. في قرب الله تعالى وإجابته وأن ذلك لا ينفي علوه وفوقيته. We have a few minutes. Okay. A chapter. The nearness of Allah, His responding to those who supplicate to Him, and that does not negate Allah's transcendence and highness. شرح. قوله وقد دخل في ذلك يعني فيما وصف به نفسه الإيمان بأنه قريب من خلقه مجيب. Included in that which Allah has described Himself with is that they believe in the fact that Allah is near to His creation, Mujib. What does Mujib mean? Mujib. Hey, from what root? What is another derivative of the word?
Jawab.
Ijaba. Ajaba. Ajib. Answer. Ajib, answer. Jawab and also answer. Ajib is command. I'm telling you to answer. Jawab is the noun, an answer. So yujib is the verb, of course. You know, you learned this with Dr. Yahya. Idan, mujib is the one who. So in English, usually you add an er, the suffix er, to get the noun of like drive, driver, write, writer, ila akhirih. In English, in Arabic, you add a meem. Adhan, muadhin, salah, musalli. Ta'am, mashallah alayhi. That's what you're thinking about, huh? Even though I hide the dates, still, from all the examples you come up with food, Allah yahdik ya Muhammad. Tayyib, to believe that Allah is near and to His creation, Mujib, He responds. He answers the supplications. Al-Imanu bi-annahu qaribun fi nafsi wa mujibun ya'ni li'ibadi. So with the belief that Allah Himself is near, Allah is near, and He responds to His slaves. ودليل ذلك قوله تعالى وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان. And the evidence for that is the statement of Allah in Surah Al-Baqarah, and if my slaves ask you concerning me, then verily I am near, I respond or I answer the supplication of the one who supplicates when he supplicates to me. Look how many times it was repeated. أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَان. All these are derived from the same root word, دَعْوَة. دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَان. عجيب. في هذه الآية ستة ضمائر تعود على الله. In this ayah, there are six pronouns that are referring to Allah. وعلى هذا فيكون القرب قرب عز وجل. Based on that, the nearness is the nearness of Allah, because all of these pronouns are referring to Allah. ولكن نقول في قريب كما قلنا في المعية. But we say the same thing concerning قريب, nearness, as we said in Allah's state of being with. أنه لا يستلزم أن يكون في المكان الذي فيه. He said it does not necessitate that Allah is with the person in the same location. Remember the explanation of معية. and we said we use with and all this, there's nothing like Allah. Human beings can do it, human beings are deficient. Allah is supreme, Allah is able to do all things, and these laws don't apply to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's the creator of these laws. طيب وإذا كان الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام يقول إنه أقرب إلى أحدكم من عنق راحلته ولا يلزم أن يكون الله عز وجل في نفسه في الأرض بينه وبين عنق راحلته. I mean, look at this. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم himself, when the Sahaba were raising their voice in dua and dhikr, he said إربعوا أو أربعوا على أنفسكم أو أربعوا على أنفسكم, حسب the correct Arabic usage. So take it easy. Verily the one you're calling is closer to one of you than the neck of his camel. Does that mean, can anyone in his right mind think that Allah Azza wa Jal is between that man and the neck of his camel? Is that possible for someone to deduce this meaning? No. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying that. And it does not mean that Allah is there, mixed with his creation. Allah is above the throne, near. How? Subhanallah al-Azim. You see? وَإِذَا كَانَ قَوْلُهُ عَلَيْهِ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قِبَلَ وَجْهِ الْمُصَلِّي. The Rasul ﷺ said that Allah faces the one who is engaged in salah. Allah faces the one who is engaged in salah. لَا يَسْتَلْزِمْ أَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ الْجِدَارِ. And if you pray to a sutra, a wall, does that mean that Allah is between you and the wall? Yes, yeah. إذا كان يصلي إلى الجدار ولا بينه وبين الأرض إذا كان يظهر الأرض. And if he's looking at on the ground, does that mean that Allah is between him and the ground? I mean, this is nonsensical, unacceptable belief concerning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فكذلك لا يلزم من قرب أن يكون في الأرض. So if we say that these things do not necessitate that Allah is there, same thing we say that Allah being near does not necessitate that Allah is on earth. Hey. لأن الله ليس كمثل شيء في جميع صفاته وهو محيط بكل شيء. Why? There's nothing like Allah in all of His attributes and He encompasses everything. So you tell the person, look, if someone doesn't understand, say, look, is your essence like the essence of Allah? Is your essence like the essence of Allah? You say, no, of course not. Say, then the qualities of Allah are not like your qualities. That's the same thing. It's a consequence. If you and Allah are not the same, then Allah's actions, Allah's speech, Allah's attributes are not the same. So whatever doesn't apply to you may apply to Allah, and whatever applies to Allah does not have to apply to you. It's not the same because the essence is not the same. I mean, just word example. We get two different phones, iPhone and Windows based phone. Okay, you cannot use applications in some applications work on either one because the essence is the same. If the S is the same, then necessarily the application has to be compatible with that software, with that, whatever you call it, the device hardware or and the rest of the stuff. What do you call that thing? The running operating system. The operating system, mashallah. Mudir. So the essence is the same, then necessarily the other things will also be different. I'm sorry, they're different, so everything else should be different. And it wouldn't work the other way around. It would not work the other way around. Hey, so then, فكذلك, then we mentioned that. وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ مَنْ قَصَّمَ قُرْبَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى إِلَى قِسْمَيْنِ. Know that among the scholars are those who divided Allah's state of being with into two parts. Allah's nearness into two parts, just like they did with Ma'iyya, like Allah being with. وَقَالَ الْقُرْبُ الَّذِي مُقْتَضَاهُ الْإِحَاطَ قُرْبَ عَامٍ وَالْقُرْبُ الَّذِي مُقْتَضَاهُ الْإِجَابَةُ وَالْإِثَابَةُ قُرْبٌ خَاصٌ. So they said there's a general nearness, which is that of Allah encompassing everyone in a general sense, and the special nearness, which means that Allah will respond and reward the person who is making dua for him.
ومنهم من يقول إن القرب خاص فقط مقتدي لإجابة الداعي وإثابة العبد ولا يقسم.
And some of them, the scholars said, no, we don't make this division. Rather, it is only one kind of nearness. The nearness wherein Allah will respond and reward the person who makes supplication to Him, the one who's a slave of His, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is not divided into more than one part. And with that, inshallah, we will conclude. We have a page and a quarter left on this chapter. Then we would be going into the statement of the belief that the Quran is the speech of Allah, سبحانه وتعالى. And we will elaborate extensively on this inshallah. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد. عليكم السلام.